Well, just another word of welcome, another word of warm welcome to everyone that's come to the meeting tonight. It's good to see you. I know the world outside there is celebrating the Jubilee and all the rest of it, but it's good really just to gather here tonight under the sound of the Word of God, just to celebrate the great truth and make known the great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is that friend that sticks close to my brother. That's our subject tonight. We just want to speak about the friendship of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us he's the friend of publicans and sinners. And so it's good to see you tonight, and we give you a warm welcome, and we pray the Lord will bless you tonight. And we pray that you would come back again, because these meetings will continue throughout the week in the will of the Lord, every night at 8 o'clock, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And it'd be good to see you back again, and then we'll take up again on Sunday night at 8 and preach through the following week every night at 8 o'clock as well. Now, the meetings for the boys and girls are this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 6:15. And again, we say, if you know some boys and girls that haven't been yet, try to encourage them to come along. There's only a few nights of the children's meetings left, but it'd be good to see them. Some of the boys are here tonight that have been at the children's meetings. It's good to see them. And we're just having good times with the children. And it'll be good to see God moving in their hearts as well. So that's basically all the intimations, apart from the fact that it's 7:15. There's a wee time of prayer. And if any of the Christians can join us for that, then we'd appreciate their fellowship very much indeed. So we just thank you for coming tonight. Now, we just want to read a few verses again in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And we're just really going to use these as a springboard for what's in our mind tonight. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 13 says, "And he went forth," that is the Lord Jesus, "went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him and taught him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans, that is, tax collectors and sinners, sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees," these were the religious men, "when they saw him eat with tax collectors and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with tax collectors and sinners?" And of course, back in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter number 11, in verse 19, we read these words, "that the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified of our children." And that's all we're going to read tonight. And we know that the Lord will bless these words to some weary, lonely heart tonight. We just want to speak about the friendship of the Lord Jesus. I know when I was just a wee boy at home, my mother used to get a magazine, and she used to sit and read it in her quieter moments when my sister and my brother and I were maybe doing our homework and whatever. And that magazine that she used to sit and read was called The People's Friend. The People's Friend. I always thought it was a magazine that was sort of geared and directed towards the sort of middle-aged. And, you know, when I got to the stage where I saw that magazine was appearing in my own home and been read by my wife, I started to realise that the years were starting to wear on in my life as well. But there it is, and it's catering to a need in the hearts and lives of women in our society, the people's friend, the people's friend. And of course, it's one of our great banking organisations, and that's how it presents itself, as the people's friend, the people's friend. These things are really, these advertising campaigns are really catering to a basic need in the framework and the makeup of every individual. Every one of us needs a friend. Every one of us needs someone that we can depend upon, someone with whom we can share the innermost burdens of our heart, someone that we can unload to, someone that we can really draw alongside, and someone that can draw alongside us. And I'm sure that's true of every individual in this hall tonight, that you know that deep down within your hearts you need and you value the friendship of others. But I would judge that everyone in the meeting, in the course of their life, has discovered that friends don't always turn out to be what you expected them to be. I would reckon most in the meeting tonight have known what it is to be let down by someone that you trusted, someone that you thought was dependable, someone with whom you shared the innermost feelings of your heart, and you thought they would be safe with them, and they betrayed your trust. They let you down. And you discovered that they were unreliable, they were undependable.
And you felt the hurt of that, the pain of that. There was maybe individuals in the course of your life and you thought that they would stick by you through thick and thin. And you really thought that it didn't matter the circumstances that you were in, how difficult they would be, that they would be there. And you've discovered in your life that when you needed these individuals most, they'd really deserted you, they'd gone. And you were let down and you felt rejected. You felt the hurt and the pain of that. Oh, my friend, there is that need for friendship. It's part of the makeup of the human being that we need the friendship of others, the support of others, the encouragement of others. And sadly, the people that we've looked to for that support, they've let us down. They've let us down. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe even tonight you're suffering from that. You're suffering the pain of being rejected. You're suffering the pain of having been let down. And you're feeling weary, you're feeling lonely. You're feeling hurt tonight, you're feeling wounded. There's a wee verse in the Old Testament at the end of Proverbs chapter 18, and this is what it says in one of the modern translations. It says, there are those that call themselves friends, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to speak about a true friend tonight. We're going to speak about a friend that will never desert you. A friend that will never let you down. A friend that pledges his presence to be with you in every circumstance of life. And the name of that friend is Jesus. And those of us who are Christians tonight, those of us who have known the Lord Jesus for a long time can say, what a friend! What a friend we have in Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Oh, praise God. There are many in this room and we've come to know Jesus as our Saviour. And He's dealt with our sins. He's taken away our sins. He's forgiven us our sins. He's reconciled us to God. He's our Saviour. Praise God tonight. But we've come to know the Lord Jesus as more than just the Saviour. We've come to know Him as a friend. One that has promised, I'll never leave you. And He sticks closer to us than a brother. My friend, can I challenge you tonight? That you know this man as your Saviour? As your friend? Has there ever been that time in your life when you've come to Him and you've received Him into your heart and life? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour to deal with your sins? My friend, do you know the experience day by day of walking in the enjoyment of the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, He'll never let you down. And when all your earthly friends desert you and leave you and abandon you, He'll be there for you. And parting to you His grace and His mercy and His strength and His love and His peace. And all that you need in the pathway of life, the Lord Jesus will supply as you walk step by step with Him. My friend, the friend of sinners. That's what He's called, isn't it? The friend of the tax collectors and the sinners. My friend, do you know Him tonight? You see, we're all sinners, aren't we? We've talked about, we've preached that every night that we've been here. The universality of the problem of sin. It's a problem that really goes, that cuts through all the class barriers and all the colour barriers and all the creed barriers. It's a problem that permeates the whole of mankind. The problem of sin. We're all sinners. Praise God, every one of us is sinners. We can find a friend in the Lord Jesus because He's the friend of sinners. He's my friend and He's yours. You know, if we read through the Gospels, then we'll discover he's a friend to the friendless. That He cares for those that nobody else cares for. He loves those that no one else can love. Those that feel rejected, those that feel abandoned, those that feel all alone are the people that become the specific interest of the love and the tenderness and the interest of Christ. Maybe that's you there tonight. Maybe that's just where you are right now in your experience. There's a man that the Lord Jesus met in John chapter 5. He was underneath the arches in the city of Jerusalem. That was where the homeless lay. You see, some people think that homelessness is a 20th century or a 21st century phenomenon. My friend, there were homeless people 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus was here. And there they were, underneath the arches, not in Charing Cross in London, but there in Bethesda in Jerusalem, the homeless, under the arches, multitudes of them. That's where the Lord Jesus was. Eh? That's where the Lord Jesus was, under the arches, among the homeless. And the infirmed, and the abandoned, and the outcast. That's where he was. They met a man, and it says that he knew that he'd been lying in the condition that he was in for 38 years. He couldn't walk. And as the Lord Jesus speaks to the man, this was the man's testimony. This was the man's summing up of his life. He says, I've got nobody. I've got nobody. I'm lying here, and all the squalor, I'm lying here in all the dejection and depression of my life. I'm lying here and I've got nobody. Nobody that cares for me. Nobody that loves me. Nobody that's interested in me. I've got nobody. Maybe that's you tonight. And you just feel as if everybody's abandoned you. Society's abandoned you. Your family's abandoned you. The people that you thought were your friends, they've abandoned you. And you'll get nobody. But what a joy it must have been to this man's heart when the Lord Jesus says, listen, just take up your bed and walk. He found a friend in Jesus. He found in the person of the Lord Jesus one that knew his need and one that could meet his need and one that could answer his need immediately. One that could be his saviour and one that could be his friend. Oh, my friend, I don't care what condition you're in tonight. I don't care how many times you've been rejected and how low you feel. I want to tell you there's one that loves you. He knows everything about your broken, wasted life. He knows the dejection. And he knows the squalor of your life and the ruin of your life. And he loves you. My friend, he wants to be that friend to you tonight. He wants to lift you out of your misery. He wants to take your broken life and make it anew. He wants to take you from the very dunghill of society and to set you among princes, because that's what my blessed Saviour does. He wants to set you tonight among heaven's aristocracy. What a message. The Bible speaks about those that receive the Lord Jesus as being children of the living God. Speaks of them as being part of a kingdom of priests. It talks about them being princes. That's what the Lord Jesus does to those that receive him. And you might have nobody as far as the world's concerned. And you might be a nobody. And you're here tonight with your wasted, ruined life. All because of sin. The Lord Jesus cares for you. And he draws near to you with all his tenderness and all his love. And he wants to meet your need tonight. He wants to be your saviour. He wants to be your friend. He wants to lift you up. He wants, my friend, you to leave the hall with your head held high. He wants to put a spring in your step. He wants to put joy in your heart. He wants to put peace deep within your spirit. He wants to give you the assurance tonight that all your sins are gone and that you're part of heaven's royalty and that you're on the way to heaven for eternity. That's what the Saviour wants to do. And that's why we're preaching tonight, that you, a poor sinner, might come to know the sinner's friend. His name is Jesus. Oh, my friend tonight, I don't care who you are. The Lord Jesus loves you. Doesn't matter how deep you've been down. Doesn't matter what other people think about you. You're here tonight in all your rejection and all your depression and all the misery of your life's experience, and you're weak and you're friendless and you're abandoned. But the Lord loves you and he cares for you and he wants to draw near to you. Will you reject him tonight? Will you say no to him? My friend, what a day it would have been for the man at the pool of Bethesda if he'd said no to the Lord Jesus. And there he was, and he'd nobody else to help him. And the condition that he was in meant that he couldn't help himself. My friend, he would have been an utter fool to have said no to the Lord Jesus. He would have been a total fool to have rejected the offer of help and the offer of friendship that came from him. What about you tonight? Would you be any less a fool to reject the friendship of Christ? Would you? Would you be any less foolish than the man of Bethesda to say no to the one that loves you and cares for you and wants to lift you and change you and save you? My friend, if you leave the meeting without Christ tonight, you're the biggest fool on earth. If you want to remain in the misery of your life's experience, if you want to wallow in your sin, then do it. But don't say there's nobody cares for you. Don't say there's nobody interested in you. Don't say there's nobody stretching out their hand to you. My friend, there's one that's stretching out his hand tonight. The blessed Lord Jesus. He loves you. He's the friend of sinners. Praise God tonight. He wants to be your friend. He wants to walk the road home with you tonight. He wants to go through the door into your home with you tonight. He wants to lie down beside you. He wants to be with you the rest of life's journey. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. He says to those that trust him, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be there for you. My friend, is that what you're looking for tonight? A real companion. A real friend that you can trust every moment of every day. My friend, you can share your innermost thoughts with Christ and he'll never betray you. He'll never betray you. I know you've been betrayed. I know there's things you've spoken. There's things you've spoken in confidence to your friends, in inverted commas, and before you knew all about it, it was all over the Shire. My friend, you whisper your fears. You whisper your needs into the ears of the Lord Jesus, and my friend, it will stay there. He'll never betray your confidence. He'll never betray your trust. He'll never let you down. Trust him tonight. Trust him tonight. He's worthy. He's worthy of your trust. Oh, my friend, isn't it wonderful, eh? To think that the Lord Jesus actually wants to be your friend. He wants to share your life. He wants to have a part in it. He wants to be the part of it, the main part of it. He says, behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, he says, I'll come in. I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. The Lord Jesus just wants to, he just wants to share with you all that he is. You know, it's nice, isn't it, when someone knocks the door and they don't come looking for bills to be paid. They just want to come in and just sit down and just talk. And just commune, just to have fellowship over a cup of tea. Something precious about that, isn't it? That's what the Lord Jesus said. That's what he wants to do in your life. He says, I'm knocking at the door. I want you to come in. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him. I'll commune with him. And he with me. Oh, my friend, will you let him in tonight? I remember preaching one night across in Lanarkshire, in the town of Bells Hill. There was a woman listening to the message, and a couple of days later, she was sitting in her own home, and she said, Lord, the door's open, just come in. My friend, would you just say that tonight in the meeting? If you're conscious of your deep need, the loneliness of your heart, my friend, the Lord's knocking, would you just say, Lord, just come in? He said, he that hears my word, and opens the door, he that heareth my voice, and opens the door, he says, I'll come in. And sup with him. Sup with him, my friend. If you let the Lord Jesus in tonight, you'll be able to sing as we sang tonight. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Maybe you sang the words tonight, but you've never had the experience. You don't really know him as your friend. You don't know him as your saviour. You don't know him as your Lord. My friend, you let him in tonight. And you'll be able to say tonight. And you'll be able to say every day of your life, what a friend. What a friend I have. What a friend I have in Jesus. Oh, my friend is the friend. The Lord Jesus is the friend of publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. And you go through the Gospels, and it was the type of people that no one else had any time for, that the Lord Jesus had time for. The Lord Jesus actually went to Samaria one day, and there was an immoral woman sitting in a well. Well, the Lord Jesus was sitting in the well waiting for her. Yes. The time when everyone else was having their wee siesta. The time when the eastern sun was at its strongest, it was at its zenith. And everyone else was sheltering, and everyone else was enjoying the little slumber under the shade. And yet such was the heart of love of the Lord Jesus for the outcast woman, that he sat at the well and just waited for her to come. He wanted to be a friend to the friendless. The reason she came at that time of the day was so that no one else would see her. You see, such was the moral condition of her life, that she was the talk of all the gossip of the village. And all the people would point the criticising finger. She had 5 husbands, and the man that she was living with wasn't her husband. She was living in sin. Maybe you're living in sin tonight. Maybe you're living with someone that you're not married to. Maybe you're committing adultery. Maybe you're committing fornication. I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And the Lord Jesus sat there under the heat of the sun just to wait to bring life, life in all its fullness to a woman in all her desperate need as a lost sinner. Even the disciples of the Lord Jesus, as they saw him, they marveled. They actually marveled that the Lord Jesus was speaking to such a woman. Oh, my friend, I tell you, if the disciples had been watching down through the years, I tell you, they would have marveled a million times over at the type of individuals that the Lord Jesus Christ saved and brought into the circle of his friends. Oh, my friend, it doesn't matter what your condition of life is tonight. The Lord Jesus wants to meet your need. He wants to be that man that makes a difference in your life. I tell you, once this woman found Christ, she didn't need any other man. He was the one that satisfied the deepest longings of her heart. She'd found the Saviour. And she'd found in the Lord Jesus a friend that would never let her down. Oh, my friend, and the Lord Jesus, he's waiting for you. My friend, I marvel at that. The Lord Jesus, and we preached at the opening meetings in this series concerning who Jesus is, that he's the eternal Son of the eternal God, God manifest in flesh. And yet he sits and waits at a well for a poor, needy, immoral woman. Eh? Oh, the marvel of it. The patience of it. The love, the tenderness, that deity should sit in a well waiting for the woman and all her immorality. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus, how patient he's been with you, eh? Over the years, think of the times that you've heard the knock of the nail-pierced hand in your heart's door. Think of the times you've heard the tender appeal of the Saviour as he's called in you. And he's waited, eh? And he's waiting tonight, eh? What mercy, what mercy. He's still waiting, because he still cares for you tonight. You've maybe rejected him 100 times over, but he still waits. My friend, will you keep on waiting any longer? And I wonder tonight, will you just swing open the harps door and let him in? Just trust him, just receive him. And my friend, he'll be better for you than the world can ever do. He's the people's friend. He's the friend of the tax collectors and the sinners. He's my friend tonight. Is he yours? Eh? Is he yours? Can you really sing tonight? What a friend! What a friend we have in Jesus. I was thinking of the proof of his friendship. You see, the Lord Jesus has proved his friendship. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the ultimate, isn't it? That's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate expression and manifestation of love. Greater love hath no man than love. There is no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what the Lord did, isn't it? That's what he did at Calvary. No man takes my life from me, he says. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. My friend, no man had greater love than this than to lay down his life. That's what Christ did. He laid down his life for you. He gave his life up as a sacrifice on Calvary. Because my friend, that cruel cross on Calvary's hill became an altar. The altar of sacrifice, where the Lord Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice of his own life. And he gave up his life for you and for me. Oh, my friend, and my friend, that must bring a response from our heart, surely. If someone loved you enough to give their life for you, my friend, would you not respond to that love? Would you not honour the memory of that person? Would you not cherish them? My friend, the Lord Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you. He laid it down as a sacrifice for your sins on the cross. Praise God, he not only laid it down, he took it up again in glorious resurrection. And he's alive forever. And he's really saying to you tonight, listen, I loved you so much. I loved you so much as I went to the cross and died for you. I died to take away your sins. I shed my precious blood that your sins may be forgiven, that you may be purged. Will you let me in? Eh? Will you let him in tonight? Will you just let him into that poor, wasted, sin-wasted life, sin-battered life, sin-ruined life? My friend, would you let him in tonight? He loves you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. He's proved it by his giving of his life on the cross. He could do no more. What more are you asking for tonight? Eh? What more are you asking for tonight? Before you receive the Lord Jesus into your life, what more are you wanting? What greater proof are you looking for of his love? There can be no greater proof. There can be no greater evidence. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. Is he going to let you down? Is he going to abandon you? There's a wee verse in the Romans that talks about God sparing not his only Son, but delivering him up for his all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? My friend, if God and his blessed Son were prepared to pay the ultimate price, the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, if they were prepared to pay that price to make you and I God's children, is God not going to give us everything? God values you to me. God values you to me. Don't ever think you're worthless. We are unworthy. But there's none of us worthless. Every one of us tonight are valuable to God. Every one of us are precious in the sight of the Saviour. The man lying at the pool of Bethesda, and there he was in all his paralysis and all the squalor and filth of his life, and yet the Lord loved him. He was precious to him. And you're precious to him tonight. And he wants to draw near to you. He says, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. Will you let him be your friend now? Or will you cause him the pain of rejection that you've felt by others over the course of your life? Do you think the Lord Jesus hasn't got any feelings tonight? You've got feelings, haven't you? And you've felt the pain of rejection. You've felt what it is to be let down. My friend, if you reject Christ tonight, he'll feel it. He'll feel it intensely. He'll feel it to a far greater degree than you've ever felt it. Because he loves you in a way that you've never been able to love anybody in your life. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you on the cross. And he wants you just to let him into your life. He wants you to receive him tonight as your Saviour. And your friend, he's proved his friendship by the laying down of his life. Think of the blessings of friendship. You know what the Lord Jesus says? He says to these men, his disciples in John 15, he says, from now on, he says, I'm not going to call you servants. He says, I'm going to call you friends. He says, because a servant doesn't know what its master is doing. But all the things that I've received of the Father, I'm going to share them with you. That's what friends do. They share. We just share little things, don't we? You know, I had some friends with me in the car today, and, you know, just as we went on our journey, you know, we shared what we had. Just a couple of packets of crisps and some juice and some sweeties. But you know, we had our friends with us, and what we had, we shared with them. We just gave them what we had, and we enjoyed it together. That's what friends do. The Lord Jesus says, all that I've received of the Father, he says, I'm going to share with you. Hey. You think of all that the Lord Jesus has received from his glorious Father, and all that he's received, he wants to share with you. Hey. And you're going to turn him away tonight. You're going to say no to him. You're going to continue to paddle your own lonely canoe in the rapids of life's experience. You're going to take your chance without him in life, and you're going to take your chance without him in death, and take your chance without him in eternity. My friend, what a fool. The Lord Jesus wants to take control of your little canoe tonight. He wants to steer you through life's rapids. He wants to take you safely through death. He wants to take you into heaven for all eternity. Think of the words of David as he wrote that beautiful psalm. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Praise God tonight. Do you have that assurance that when you walk that cold, dark, gloomy valley, that the Lord will be there? That friend that sticks closer than a brother. My friend, I want to tell you, you'll not be there at the end unless there's been some point in the journey through it that you've received them into your heart and into your life. You see, it says in Luke's, the early chapters of Luke's Gospel, that that concerning the crowd, that they supposed, or concerning Mary and Joseph, that supposed Jesus was with them, they supposed that he was there. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe you're just supposing that Jesus is there. My friend, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus will not be in your life unless you've received him. Unless there's been a time when your conscience opened the door and bowed the will and received Christ in and crowned him as Saviour and Lord. My friend, he'll not be there as your friend unless he's your Saviour. Don't suppose to. Make sure about it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he just opens his hands. He just appeals to you now with all the tenderness of his breast. And all the love of his heart, my friend, he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. Will you turn him away then? It's really a choice of friendship, isn't it? That's really what you've got to make tonight. Just before I sit down and before you leave the hall, you've got to make a choice of friendship then. Because you can't be a friend of Christ and a friend of the world. Remember that day when the Lord Jesus stood before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the man that was going to sentence the Lord Jesus? And that crowd cried, Pilate, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. It's a choice of friendship. But the Caesar of Christ. It was the world's power and the world's popularity and the world's praise of Christ. James writes these words. He says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't be friends with the world and be a friend with God. My friend, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God, because it was the very world, this world system that we're in, that put God's Son on the cross. My friend, it's a choice of friendship. You can't be friend of Christ and friend of the world. You can't. You can't jump about in this old world and enjoy its pleasures and its delights and its entertainment and still be a friend of Jesus. It was the world that crucified him. If you want to be a friend of the Lord Jesus, my friend, you'll need to break your friendship with the world. And you'll need to embrace Christ, and you'll need to make him everything in your life. But my friend, what glorious compensation. He'll never forsake you. He'll never desert you. You can cast all your cares on him, and he'll carry them. You'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend of publicans and sinners. Is he your friend tonight? Do you want him to be your friend? Or you can receive him as your friend in him. That's simple. And just as God and Father, in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus, we just spread the need of this company before thee. Lord, thou knowest every heart. Thou knowest that there's aching hearts here tonight. There's lonely hearts. There's searching hearts. There are sinful hearts. There are hearts of God that are just so heavy and so burdened with the weight and circumstances of life. And Lord, thou knowest everything. And they were calling, they were speaking. They were seeking to draw near, O God, to offer thy friendship, to offer thy support and thy forgiveness and thy salvation. And O God, we just pray that as thou would offer all these things in Christ, that there would be those that would just receive it by faith and leave, O God, this meeting tonight with the burden of their sin removed. Leave, O God, with the peace and joy of Christ in their heart. And leave, O God, with the assurance that all is well with their soul. Leave with the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is with them, never again to forsake them. Lord, do a mighty work in this place, we pray, as we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now we'll just take time just to sing a verse of a hymn. Hymn number 273 says, only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come on thy sin confessing, to him thy Saviour bow. Only a step, only a step. Come, he waits for thee. Come on thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. So we'll just keep singing the first verse in the chorus of hymn 273, and after that the meeting is entirely over. We just thank you again for coming. Remind you of the meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We'd love to see you back. But if we've said anything that you don't agree with or anything you want clarified, then please don't go away. Please speak to us, and we'd be happy just to sit by your side and explain in a more detailed manner how you can really know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. And friend, we've also got some booklets that are free of charge. If you want one of these booklets at the end, let us know and we'll be quite happy to give you. So we'll just remain seated and sing the first verse and chorus of 27.